Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is
Not Your Demographic,
a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist.
Whatever. This, like, new wrestling schedule is, like, throwing me off a lot.
Yeah, it's...
I don't like it.
We're in, like, this weird middle place. Especially this week where I actually watched a pay-per-view on Sunday, and then it's like, oh, wait, now the week isn't complete until...
Too bad you didn't watch Monday Night Raw. It was something.
I mean, I heard some things.
It was shocking, truly. I mean, we'll get to it, but it was just like,
Yeah.
Well, that's one method of coping, I guess. How are you?
I'm all right. I had a very busy week doing professional business person things, which was fine.
Professional business person things.
I mean, you know how it goes, professional business person life. I did that. I made some art this week. I saw a bunch of movies. I haven't gone to the movies regularly in forever. Like, it really is, like, Michael and I will be like, movie about space, time to go to the movies. That's kind of it. That's, like, the only time we really he really likes Quentin Tarantino.
When we go to the movies, I go, do you want to go on a Chili's date? Because in in Evanston, there's Chili's to the movie theater.
I love that movie theater.
So we really only go to the movies when I'm really craving Chili's.
I mean, that makes sense. Michael and I went out to dinner he went to work on Monday, and someone recommended Judy, the Judy Garland movie. And it was a man in his office who he was like, I don't peg you as like an old musical type. And the fact that you're recommending it to me, also not an old musical type, means I'd probably like it. So he mentioned it to me and I was like, yes, I would like to see that movie. Let's make a date. He was like, cool. Do you want to find some information? And like 4 minutes later, I was like, okay, we have tickets for the 6:45 downtown. We can get dinner first. I'll meet you at your office. See you later. Bye. He's like, wait, what? Because I really wanted to see it, and I was like, I don't really want to go see this by myself, because I don't want to cry alone in a theater in the middle of the day, necessarily.
That sounds lovely, though.
But I had just done that on Saturday, because I saw Abominable, which was really fucking good. Like, Michael and I have an arrangement, because we have an open relationship, that if he has a date and I don't have other plans, he will pay for me to do other things. And so he was like, here, I'll pay for you to go see a movie and like get dinner by yourself and go have a drink afterwards. And so the only movies playing by my house were Ad Astra, which I'd already seen in IMAX and didn't want to see on a little screen. I was like, that'd be fucking weird. It was really good.
What is that movie?
It's Brad Pitt in the future, in space, goes to chase his father, Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes. Who was it good?
Yes, it was very good.
Brad Pitt is a pretty good actor. I feel like people think of him as
a good actor, actually.
A hot guy or whatever, but like, even when he was younger, like, 12 Monkeys is a fucking great movie.
I read a really good article. Michael sent this to me. I think it was GQ. It might have been Esquire, but it was a cover piece about Brad Pitt is secretly a character actor who is just too hot. And so he gets cast as things that are not actual character pieces. But like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and then this, Ad Astra, are just like straight character pieces for him, basically. And he's great in both of them. They're very different too. And I'm really picky about space movies. I love them. They're my jam. This was great. There was some honestly some of the most beautiful film work I had seen in like a really, really long time. Like, it will definitely be nominated for Best Picture and probably Best Cinematography. It was just so fucking good. So I'd already seen Ad Astra and I was like, okay, I want to see that. The only other movie was Abominable and then The Joker. And I was like, I don't really want to see Joker. I'd rather see Abominable. So I went and saw that. And it was really good. It like made me cry in like a happy way. I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was very good. And so then on Tuesday we went and saw Judy and it was like the theater was full for a Tuesday night, which was very weird. But
all gay men or
no, it was weird. It was a very mixed crowd of people who was like, could you not get tickets to Joker and that's why you're here? Because they started it at similar times. But the theater was like silent the whole time and was like really feeling it. And then you got towards the end because it's about Judy Garland's London performance shows, which happened 6 months before she died. And so it's her at 46, which is fucked up that's right before she died. But her life is fucked up. Like, you get these like cutback scenes of her as like a child, as an actor with Louis B. Mayer. And they are not nice about it. He's like, yeah, you're a chubby girl with fat ankles who could be replaced. They're like talking to this 17-year-old. And then he's like, say thank you, Judy. And she's like, thank you. And so it's that cut with like, here's why she can't sleep at night. And here's why she has a raging eating disorder. And here's why she takes a bunch of fucking like methamphetamine pills every fucking day. Like, it was really fucking sad, but very good. And Renee Zellweger wore it like a fucking dress. She looked like her. She moved like her. She sang like her. It was extraordinary. Like, it was one of the best times I've ever seen a person play a real person. Like, I mean, you've seen Judy Garland, like the way her like song performances go, she'd have that long microphone, she'd like sling it over her shoulder and like did these weird little walks, and like Renee just fucking nailed it. It was so good. And we get to the end and it was just like one person behind me started sniffing, a person in front of me started sniffing, and then I started sniffing, and like the whole theater just started crying. Like, Michael was crying. He was like, I don't know anything about this woman. I'm very confused, but this is so good. So I highly recommend Judy. I would absolutely go out of your way to see it. It was really fucking good.
So I have your review, and then I have a review from an older gay gentleman who's obsessed with Judy Garland. And his take is, Renee Zellweger is transformative, iconic, did a great job. And boy, did they mess up a bunch of the story.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure they fucking did. He was like,
they were too nice about so much stuff. Mm-hmm. Also, the timeline doesn't work. And he had all of these critiques. He was like, Renee is great. But he was like, as somebody who's obsessed with Judy Garland, it was a lot for me to be like, nope, that's not how that happened. Nope, that's not how that happened. Yeah.
I thought they told a very cohesive story for like, here are people who know nothing.
Right.
Here's a good way to look at this person who you probably only think of as the Wizard of Oz a lot of the time. So I thought that was very well done.
Or Liza's
mom. Mm-hmm. Fucking Michael didn't know. Liza's in it. There's a moment where she like sees Liza and they make like.
Real
a,
Liza?
No. Fake Liza, obviously. Sad. She's like a 19-year-old. Oh. But she's opening cabaret. And so they like make this reference to like, oh, I'm in this show. I don't know. Who gives a shit? It'll be fine, kind of. And Michael was like, I didn't understand that. I was like, it was Liza Minnelli, her daughter, who was in cabaret. And he was like, what? That's her daughter? I was like, yeah.
They
look at her.
Yeah,
they look exactly the fucking same. Liza looks exactly like Judy would have if she had made it past 47. Like, they're fucking identical now. She used to look like her dad. Now she looks like Judy. Like, I don't know how he did not get that, but whatever. It's fine. So we saw that, and then yesterday, Devin paid for my ticket and made me go see Joker. So I have seen the Joker movie now. It was fine. It was fine. Like, I don't understand why people are
what I've
so
heard from
vehement
people
about it.
Who are into comic books is that it's like a fine movie.
Yeah.
They fundamentally misunderstand the character of the Joker.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix is good.
Yeah.
It's just like Taxi Driver with the Joker, right?
Kind of. It was like Taxi Driver meets The Master. And like, The Master was fine.
What's The Master?
Oh my God.
Doctor Who? No?
No. Anybody? It's Philip Seymour Hoffman and I always want to call him Jaquan because it was a joke I used to make
Jaquan?
A lot. And it's not like
Joaquin?
Yes, I know. It's one of those things where like I joked about it a bunch many years ago.
Well,
now
I
want to
start
like,
calling him Jaquan.
It's like stuck in my brain. I'm like, don't call him Jaquan. And then it always comes out as Jaquan. So Phoenix. He's a great character actor. And in The Master, he and Philip Seymour Hoffman, it's basically the story of Scientology and how he like gets conned into joining this cult, basically, and Philip Seymour Hoffman is the Scientologist guy. It's very good. It's a great character study. Amy Adams is in it. She gives a hand job that basically won her an Oscar. It was fucking weird. Or a nomination, whatever. It's really good, but it's a weird character study where I saw it with Alex Halverson, and he and I drank an entire bottle of rum in the back row, and we left and we're like, I'm glad we drank that rum, because I don't think I understood what happened in this movie.
Maybe didn't understand because you were drunk.
No, because like we went back and we're like,
I'm just joking.
Did we fundamentally not get, nope, just not for us. I think that was like...
You don't have to explain the plot. It's really okay.
Yeah, but that's how I felt. It's where I left and it was like, he did a great job acting, but that's kind of what I felt the whole time. I was like,
I'm acting.
Yeah, I was like, you're doing a really good job acting. You're acting your ass off. Like, man, really acting here. Where I was like, watching Renee Zellweger as Judy, like, I never felt like she's acting. It felt like you are wearing this character. And I think part of it's just the scripts for his movies. I just am not, he picks pieces that are acting heavy, and like that's cool and I like it, but it's not what I wanted from a Joker movie. I don't know, I told Devin after we saw it, honestly, I feel like I would have liked this movie a lot more if Ty Phillips had shut his fucking mouth and not said anything about it before. Like, I truly feel like he started all of this controversy because the movie's not interesting enough to talk about without a bunch of manufactured controversy, other than it was good, I liked it, up until all of this weird shit. But like, it felt like a script that fundamentally didn't understand what it wanted to be, where it was like, are we supposed to feel bad for this guy? Is this an underdog story? Yes, because society treats him like shit and he gets beaten down and like that is very relevant today. But then there's like, also, they're the bad guys in the Batman movies and everyone knows that and has this context for it. So it was weird to be like, these dudes are rioting, but they're right. And so I don't know if I should feel good that they're getting away with this stuff. It was like, you really need to pick a direction on this script. Like, don't make me feel bad that his social services are cut and then he murders someone on live television. Like, it's that is who the Joker is, but this was like a really weird way to approach
but
that character.
Joker, but the Joker, it was an, I don't like giving a backstory to the Joker, right? Like, I hate every time anybody's ever tried to do it in the comics and stuff, because like that's the part of the Joker, like, I mean, he cuts his face off in the comic books because he's like, I don't need a face. I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. The whole point is that you don't know who I am. You can't get in my head. My actions are erratic because like I am. That's why that he's the perfect foil for Batman, because Batman is the world's greatest detective, right? Like, he's good at deducing things. And if there's no context for anything, then you can't deduce them. That's the whole fucking point. Who cares about his backstory?
Yeah.
Not to me.
And it's weird, too, because it felt like to me also, there were a lot of things that there were some shots that were very similar to The Dark Knight. And that was clearly done on purpose because they're the same kind of Joker. But it was like, it felt like we got to the end and it was like, oh, you watched The Dark Knight and saw Heath Ledger's performance and thought, how do I write a fanfic about how he became this person? And that's what this script feels like. And it's like, if they had taken, like, it felt to me like, yes, this is a real person in a real world that exists that could be driven to the circumstances to become this crazy fucking psycho. Like, yeah, totally.
Also, Joker's, like, brilliant and smart and, like...
But, like, that, I don't want to give too much away, but, like, that's kind of the whole idea is, like, you unravel this, like, is it mental illness? Is it something that was done to him? That's, like, the whole deal with the Joker is it's supposed to be this back and forth and, like, what's real and
what's not. I mean, truly, the Joker
not.
Was originally created by shoving him in a vat of, like,
of
weird
chemicals. Exactly! And, like, it's...
I don't... There's such a fine line with comic book stuff, especially with DC, because it's, like, gritty and, like, bleh, whatever, true stories. And, like, Marvel has that shit, too, where it's, like, at some point, you do just have to realize, yes, their psychology is very interesting and whatever, but it is also a superhero thing, which is fine.
Yeah.
That is fine. I'm not diminishing that, obviously. Like, you're in my room. There's, like...
Yeah, we're, like, surrounded by
comic books and stuff. Like, but there is an otherworldly element to it that and something that you don't have to explain, I think.
Yeah.
And
that's why
you don't
have
to ground it in reality all the time.
Exactly. That's why I felt like this script just
sometimes
could
just get
not...
thrown into a vat of chemicals and then you're like,
yeah, like
I'm
it just couldn't
super
decide
villain now.
What it wanted. It was like, is this an intense character study about how life beats people down and then they do horrible things? Or is this an origin story? And it felt like they did all this marketing to make us think it's an origin story, and then right before it comes out, they're like, oh no, 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 no. It's not the Joker. It's just a Joker. Like, whoa, what? No, this, it was bizarre. And like, I expected to like Robert De Niro a lot more than, not like as a character, but his role in it more. And I, and it was good and it was well used, but in the end it was still just like, it reminded me of that Aretha Franklin quote where she's talking about singers and she's like, so-and-so, great range, that person, so good. And then they're like, Taylor Swift. And she goes, gowns, beautiful gowns. And that's what it reminded me of. I left and I was like, choices, lots of interesting choices. So I don't know. Like, I would, if Michael wanted to see it, I would see it again and not pay for a ticket again. But like, I don't know. It just felt like, man, these dudes want an Oscar. Like, really fucking want this Oscar. I'm like, okay. Why? Who gives a shit? Like, it's just, it's bizarre. I say see it and make a decision on it, but like, don't feel like you need to spend money on it.
Why see that when you could just wait a couple months and go see The Emancipation of Harley Quinn? Because that trailer dropped and it fucks.
Is that different than Birds of Prey?
No, that's the subtitle, but I'm going with that one.
Yeah, isn't Harley not part of Birds of Prey? I don't understand.
No, well, she is sometimes, it's complicated.
Okay,
so the thing with that is that they approach, apparently, this is like Hollywood rumor, apparently the studio approached Margot Robbie and was like, we want to do a Harley Quinn movie because you were the only good part about that movie.
Yeah.
And the only good part that people liked. And she was like, yes, I fuck, correct. My characterization of Harley Quinn, spot on. But she wanted to make it more of like a
lady film.
Girl gang movie.
Yeah.
And like the Birds of Prey are, they start off, it's complicated because like Huntress, who is in the movie and is an original Birds of Prey, is a capital V vigilante, like murders people. Mm-hmm. Like, she's not like Batman where he like breaks all their bones and it's like, but technically you're still alive. Like, she murders people, right? And so like Birds of Prey have always been like in that in between, like they're the good guys, but they're not. I don't know. I mean, you can, there are various incarnations of them, like, you know, that's how Batgirl got to continue being a superhero once her like legs were broken, blah, blah, blah. When she was paralyzed, whatever. I think it's really interesting to put Harley Quinn in there. And also Harley Quinn in the comic books joins a bunch of superhero teams and like is in this like weird, like, I used to be a villain, but I was really manipulated. And now I'm like kind of a good guy. And everyone's like, I don't know, like, sure, I guess you can be on our superhero team. You're nuts. But like, also, we like you, which is like,
that does seem kind of, like, appropriate.
Right, which is, I think that's a good use of the Birds of Prey. And yeah. Black Canary's in it. Black Canary and Huntress are in it, and they're, like, original Birds of Prey. And Renee Montoya, who is a hot lesbian cop, like, she's in a movie. Like, come on, like, there are a lot of good things. And if people's big complaint right now, without having seen the movie, is, Harley Quinn's not in the Birds of Prey, and Batgirl's not there, then, like, eat my dick! It's a fucking girl gang movie! It's gonna be cool! God.
I mean, I'll probably see it. Those, the only comic book movies I go out of my way to see now are the ones that star women, because the other ones are, it feels, honestly, all of these superhero movie genres.
Also, Ewan like McGregor's in it, and you, like, love him.
I do love him.
So
I might go see Dr. Sleep because he's in it, even though it looks awful.
I think it looks interesting, but I don't watch horror films.
I mean, part of it is that, like, why does he write these sequels to books that, like, did not need sequels? Because it's a Shining sequel.
Yeah. I know.
Well, I don't I've know seen if the everyone Shining. Knows that.
I've seen that movie. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not particularly scary.
It's one of those things that I'll turn on and I'm like, I'll watch 25 minutes of The Shining.
The only scary part of that movie is that old lady in the bathtub.
Yeah, that's pretty frightening. I don't know. When you've never seen the twins with the blood elevator, that can be kind of frightening, too.
But everyone's seen that because the internet.
Yeah, true.
GIFs.
You're right.
How am I doing? Terrible. I don't want to talk about it. What wrestling shirt are you wearing?
I was going to say, you did go see a great play on Saturday, though. Yeah. In addition to all these movies we're talking about, we went and saw a play on Saturday.
We went to the Goodman. We saw Bernhardt Hamlet, which is about Sarah Bernhardt, the world's most famous actress, really, in the Victorian era in Paris, and she was rehearsing to do Hamlet, and there was big controversy, whatever, and it was like scenes backstage and stuff, and her like relationship with Rostand, who wrote Cyrano, and like it was very interesting. It was really good.
It was really good.
It was interesting to watch her like try and get into the head of Hamlet and then get it and like not get it. Like, she wanted to rewrite Hamlet. She was
trying to remove all the poetry to it. I also thought too that this clicked for me later that we're seeing this play in English, but they were all speaking French. And so I can understand why it would be harder for her also to be like...
I don't think she would. I don't think they did it in French.
Oh, I thought that it was in French, that the production was.
I'm going to look it up.
Because Rustin originally wrote in French.
Right. I did know that. I doubt that it was in French.
No, I mean, like, she's, like, they're in France speaking French yes. all the time, and so I can see how it would be a lot harder.
But she's
harder.
Doing Hamlet in English.
Right, but
oh, okay. I thought that, you meant that they were translating it.
No, no, no. Okay. I mean that, like, that back and forth of, like, I'm not connecting with this language and this poetry, like, that makes more sense to me thinking, like, oh, you're in a place where people are not speaking English all the time. Like, I can understand how that would be a little harder. But yeah, it's like, why would you remove the poetry for Hamlet? It's like the whole fucking point. Which is ultimately Rostand's argument in the end. Like, you're killing me. You can't keep doing this.
I mean, Cyrano is also one of my favorite plays of mm-hmm. all time. So good.
It, like, never even connected for me until they brought it
she
up,
she got her leg amputated.
What?
What? For real?
I'm guessing this was after Hamlet.
Yes. Well, now I'm just on Sarah Bernhardt's Wikipedia page.
Oh, you're like Michael with a Judy Garland page. We saw
that movie. Well, I know a lot about her. I love her, but amputation of her leg almost to her hip.
Whoa. She got her whole leg amputated.
She had gangrene.
Oh.
She still performed afterwards, though, because she was badass.
This bitch.
She fucked.
Sure did.
She really fucked.
Even if she was fundamentally wrong about Hamlet.
Yeah, well, we all have our... faults.
That's true. I thought it was very funny that they kept that she kept insisting that he was 19 and everyone else was like, no,
he's 30.
If only Hamlet would do something. Yeah, that's the whole deal with Hamlet. He's 30 and he doesn't do shit. That's like who he is.
Right. And then his dad's like, you gotta do stuff. And he's like, stuffing murder?
No.
What wrestling merch are you wearing?
I'm wearing a different Dean Ambrose shirt than I was last week. Because
should probably buy a Jon Moxley shirt.
Yeah, I know. I have to have money to do that.
make Michael do it.
Yeah, I'm wearing the skin and blood of Jon Moxley's enemies because, wow, were those shorts great last night.
You and Megan, thirsty.
Oh, man. He came out and I was like, damn! Michael doesn't get it. He doesn't think he's attractive. He's like, I don't understand what you see in him. But it was hilarious to watch him watch me last night because by the end of the Jon Moxley segment, he was like, yeah, I think I get it. I think I understand why you're into him now that he's not like a clown, basically. It's like, yeah, he's got great thighs. You can be basically see his whole dick in these pants because he hasn't invested a dance belt for some reason. And you got this great ass. Like, why was this being covered with two pairs of jeans
also,
at all
times?
Also,
he's a good performer.
Oh, well, yes. I've seen him perform a bunch and knew that he was good. It was cool to see him come out and be like, oh, this is what you choose to wrestle in. And, like, you did not get to do that for a long time. So I was really interested in that. And also, that match was fun and I really enjoyed it. It was very WWE heavy in that segment to be like, here's two dudes who used to be at WWE, and a guy on the outside who used to be at WWE, and a dude on commentary who used to be at WWE, and another dude on commentary.
And Kenny Omega.
Yeah, it was just like, okay.
With his barbed wire broom.
We are doing this, I guess. And yeah, it was like a cool ending to that segment. Jon Moxley looks badass as hell, like, on the ramp, turns around with a bat. I was like, yeah, we'll do.
I mean, I'm here for Pac, Kenny Omega, and Jon Moxley just like... beating the shit out of
absolutely.
Each other.
Absolutely. 100%. It's a good Pop use of all of
them. Great on commentary. Yes, he's so good. Also hot. You're misunderstanding.
I mean, yeah, neck down. I think he's very attractive.
The whole package.
Not attractive. Not my thing.
Whole package.
I love that he was so aggressive with JR. Just like, how dare you ask me that? Out here scouting as though I would need to do such a thing. Like, Jesus. I mean, you're not wrong, but... Also, Michael did not know that Pac has not appeared in anything except his wrestling gear since he came back. He was like, why is he out here like this? And so I had to explain it to him. And immediately he was like, that fucks. That's great. Yeah. I love it. Like,
he's great. He's ready at all times.
At all times. Ready
for
to go.
Murder.
I love it.
What do you think of the... I'm not wearing any wrestling merch. It's just like 10 a.m. Leave me alone.
I know. That's why I didn't ask.
Well, in case people are wondering.
Is that just me being rude and not asking your son? Don't ask.
My Xavier School for Gifted Children sleep pants. Or gifted youngsters, sorry. You know.
Yeah.
X-Men.
So, sure. basically Xavier Woods. Let's just go with that.
No, not Xavier Woods.
I know that.
It's a mutant. I'm a mutant.
So it's a reference to how he's super into that, but whatever.
I know, whatever. Nerds, right?
Nerds.
What'd you think of the second episode of AEW?
I liked it. I thought it was good. It was another one of those, like, I didn't feel exhausted by the end of it. Like, there was a lot packed into this episode. It felt like there was more wrestling somehow. Yeah. I don't know how that was possible. There's more wrestling, but
I'm glad the Young Bucks lost.
Me too. I thought that match was great. It made Private Party look really strong.
Also, because now the Bucks, like, there was the, I don't know if you saw, there was a, like, a post-match interview that they threw up on their Twitter where the Bucks were, like, really upset, and they were like, I don't know how it happened. I guess Private Party was just a better, like, team today, and they, like, kind of seemed distracted, and Nick was like, it's my son's birthday. I'm going to go home, and Matt was like, you can't leave, like, it was crazy last week. We have to be here just in case something goes down. And then for them to come out and, like, face Santana and Ortiz, like, in that, like, chaos thing in the inner circle. I think, like, there's a lot that the Bucks can still do, obviously. Yes, and that doesn't need to be in the tournament. And
they don't need it.
Who do you think is going to win?
I don't know. I have no idea. Like, I truly have no idea. I kind of think they might put it on Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus.
I think it's either them. I think it or Private Party. I think it's gonna be one or
Private
of the
Party.
Two.
Yeah, I could see Private Party winning it too. Private Party is a little bit more of a safe option, I think, in this case. But like, they're also hot as hell on Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy, and people like them a lot. Yeah. Like, it would be a smart move to put someone like, because the other belts are on people that people know and who can kind of lead a division. And,
well,
like,
I mean, that's not true. Riho is not somebody that people know.
People who are familiar with Joshi Wrestling know who she is, and like that brings
in
an audience.
Yeah, but
people
are familiar with Jungle Boy. If you are familiar enough to be familiar with Riho.
I don't think that that's true. I think that there is a big cross section of people who are like, ooh, Japanese women's wrestling on American television. That's why I'm watching this product. Like, there are people who like exist in that subsection.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, people like who follow the indies closely know who
Jungle
Boy is.
Right, you put
Boy
the
is,
main belt on Jericho that everybody knows, so put your other two belts on people that are lesser known.
And, like, bring in different types of audiences.
But too. I would argue,
I mean, Private Party does that in some ways as well.
Right,
but
I would argue that more people know who Luchasaurus is than Private Party.
Really? I don't think so.
Lots of people watch Lucha Underground. I didn't know
That's
who Private
true.
Party was before AEW.
That's fair.
And I watch a lot of wrestling.
Was on national TV.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more Jungle Boy, I think. Yeah, like, yeah. He's the one who really seems to be the focus of that tag team as well. Yeah, I don't know. I'd kind of be happy with anybody winning it. Like,
I don't think I would be. Well,
I mean,
I don't
really want Kazarian and
SCU.
Yeah.
Other than my deep love for Christopher Danielson, yeah, I want him to, like, have all the great things in all the world. But yeah,
SCU,
I agree.
SCU is like a fun stable, and I like them, but I also feel like they don't need it. And yeah. I feel like it would be smart to put these belts on someone who actually needs it and can, like, defend and chase and have to do a whole bunch of new stuff. Whereas, yeah. like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like maybe part of it is just that I liked Private Party, and so I saw out more of their stuff before, but, and so that's why I feel like more people know them. But I guess that's a good point that outside of our very
always the
area,
best friends.
Yeah, there's always the best friends who.
And Orange Cassidy on
oh
TV.
God.
Just the worst / best thumbs up. What a stupid, perfect character.
It's so good. I love it. I was, like, in the kitchen half watching, and I heard the best friends come on, and Michael was like, oh, yeah, it's these dudes.
I loved it. Chucky T was like, man, that's such a good video.
Yes. I love that.
God, that's such a good video.
Oh, I love them so much. Oh, that whole group. I'm so into it. It's so good.
It is super good. I'm really excited for Britt Baker, Bea Priestley, like, all this stuff. I like how intense they are together.
Yeah, I thought that the women's tag match was interesting. I felt like this was one of those moments where it was, like, the perfect point in the show where I was like, maybe a little bit too much wrestling on this show. I kind of need to come down a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I think they need to, I get what they're doing right now where they're like, we are different. We do wrestling because wrestling is what we do.
Yeah.
But they do need to find a balance of, like, storytelling because right now all of their story happens online.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not fair to people who just want to watch their show.
Right, exactly.
And I get it. That's how they, like, got to this point. But they are going to have to find a balance between telling those stories on their show, whether it's video packages or backstage segments or whatever. And they do the interviews in the crowd. And because it's not going to be enough. It's not sustainable to tell all your stories online and then do the wrestling. Like, you have to find more of a balance.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I think too, part of it is that, I mean, I understand why they're doing this because it's on at the same time as NXT, but the first half of the show, there's almost never a commercial break, really, because there's all of the inset stuff, which I don't understand why you wouldn't use more of that. I mean, I do. Again, I get it. It's that they're on at the same time as NXT and they want to keep people from channel flipping. But I would rather have had some of that inset stuff heavier towards the end of the show where it was like, okay, I'm interested in these matches that are happening during the commercials. Like, I need to use the bathroom at some point in the first half of this show. So I hope they figure out how to more effectively use the insets. Because I like all the wrestling. I want to see all of that wrestling right. That's happening on the inset during the commercials. And, like, they're doing a really good job of telling that story still during commercials so that it keeps you watching it. But then it does feel like, okay, I'm running out of steam here real fast. So I hope that they find that. And, again, I didn't feel exhausted when I got to the right. event because I was interested in what was happening. I just need a little more balance in the way that the program
Well, what was happening on NXT was, like, just talking about Roderick Strong's dick and if it was small or big.
That photo that fucking Mary posted of them at Disney, I was just like, are you for real? Like, for real, for real? What, like, good for you, but also, like, maybe I just fundamentally don't understand how something like that happens. As a person who, like, bangs a lot and has had a lot of, like, really intense hard sex, I'm like, what did he do to you that you're in this wheelchair the whole day? Like, girl, stand up. Go to the gym. Get better leg. Like, that's all I could think. It wasn't,
I mean,
like,
it's just a joke, Aaron.
I mean, I know that, but why? No, I just think it's very
because
dumb.
Because sex.
So you can just fuck a woman so hard, all she can do is sit for a day. Like, I just fundamentally don't get it, so I don't think it's funny.
I am pretty excited for Bianca Belair versus Rhea Ripley.
Yes.
Yes, please.
Just a whole ring full of big dick energy. Like, I'm into it. Ugh. Cool.
Rhea Ripley's so hot. It's, like, stupid how hot she is. I mean, Bianca's hot, too.
Yeah.
But, like, Rhea's scary.
I mean, I think Bianca is scary, too.
I think she's scary, too, but she also seems, like, fun.
Yeah, that's true. Bianca
so
does
her,
seem
her
fun.
So her funness, like,
Rhea does not seem fun.
She
doesn't seem fun at all, actually. Maybe that's why I don't like Rhea, is because I don't think she seems, like, any fun at all. Like, she's a good wrestler, and I'm into her character, and I'm glad she's in this scene, but, like, I'm not into her in the way that everyone else is, which is surprising since I am into women, and often women who look like that. But I think, yeah, she just doesn't look like fun at all. And I'm like, nah, I need more than that.
What do you think of the Inner Circle?
I thought Jericho's promo was fucking great.
It is. Bill Hancock had this point, though. He was like, it is interesting that he buried the We the People, but then continuously used the List.
Yes. Well, of course he is, because the List was his idea, and so he feels...
Wasn't it Jimmy Jacobs' idea?
I mean, his idea. and also part of what...
On this podcast, we give Jimmy Jacobs credit.
That's true. You're fucking right. I mean, in Jericho's mind, wink, wink, is his idea. And I think that it was a good use, too, to be able to immediately be like, yeah, that was just bad creative, and we're not gonna fucking talk about that shit anymore. But the List is good creative, so we're just gonna ignore that there was good creative. Like, that is an interesting point that there's that back and forth. But also, We the People is garbage.
Oh, yeah,
and
it's stupid.
Like... Let's not remind people that this dude who is in real life a MAGA supporter was in this racist fucking gimmick for a long time.
Yeah, but remember, Alberto Del Rio was there for a little bit, so it's not racist if you have a...
An abuser? Like this. No,
man, it's not racist if you have a person of color friend, but also Alberto Del Rio sucks. Yeah. Never heard about that guy in a while. That's nice.
Yeah, it is nice to not hear about him. I like that. That's I like nice. That a lot, actually. Yeah, I liked that promo. I thought Jericho's the best at what he does. Like, truly is. He knows how to control a crowd. He knows how to get them to, like, turn around immediately. Like, he gets it. He knew when to do the little bit of bubbly, like, oh, they're chanting something that I like and I don't want to discourage it, but I'm going to do this other thing. Yeah. It's like, he used the word shit and everyone started chanting shit because they were like, we're on TV, we can say shit, 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 shit. And so he immediately was like, what's up, everybody? Little bit of bubbly? Everyone likes that promo, right? Right, right, right. And everyone was like, yeah, we're not saying shit anymore. So, like, I love that. I love how he, like, feels unfazed in those moments and it's just like, yeah, I'm fucking great at this.
Also, he put over a bunch of people who yes. are like I love Santana Ortiz. Mm-hmm. Lots of people probably don't know them.
Yep.
Sammy Guevara, whatever, but he put Sammy Guevara over like a fucking god.
He put him Michael
he called
point,
him a god.
Michael made this point that he was like, he's like a weird dad who, like, is being too creepy and aggressive, but isn't sexually attracted to this person, and so it's, like, kind of okay that he's being weird about it. Like, that's how he presented him. He was like, here's this very hot 19-year-old, everybody. Hey, daughter, do you want to bang him? Like, what's happening here? You want him as your son-in-law, is what you're telling us. Like, okay, cool, I guess. And, like, I like Sammy. People say that he has no personality. I disagree. He is just so deeply hateable, and that's his personality. You want to punch him in the face. That's his whole fucking deal. And, like,
the inner circle.
Real good at looking punchable in the face, and, like, I'm cool with that. That's all he needs right now. They look like a full-ass boy band, and I like that.
And their manager.
I cannot... No, he's the old one. He's the Kevin of the Backstreet Boys.
Do you think that The Fiend is like the movie The Joker?
You mean, like, great in concept and terrible in execution in many ways? That's a harsh way to look at The Joker, but kind of. We're like, there's a lot of buildup, and we were all, like, really excited about it, and they treated some of it very, very well. And then the execution by the person who's, like, in charge, ultimately, of how people see it, really, really fucked it up. Really did. So, yeah.
But thought that they were doing, like, art.
Yeah, totally. And we're like, I'm really upset that you don't think that this is art. And so you're a spoiled brat for wanting conclusive answers and results to things.
Seth Rollins used the hashtag Seth is not cool in his Twitter.
I thought he deleted his Twitter. Why did Becky let him get a new one?
I think he just took it off and then was like, but I love the attention. Here, all the women's matches were great.
Yeah, they were.
Even, like, I don't like Lacey, but, like, even the Natty Lacey one, the one on the pay-per-view was pretty good. The one on Monday Night Raw was fucking boring. Fucking boring.
I did not watch it.
It was boring. But I thought that they did a pretty good job on the pay-per-view. But the women's Hell in a Cell fucked.
Yeah, it was great. It was
really good. New spots. They had great chemistry. That meteora to the ladder.
Oh, so good.
Fucking so good.
It was so good.
I was, like, a little disappointed that Sasha didn't win, but, like, I wanted it to keep going.
Yeah, me too.
It felt like they had to end because they had other, like, you know, they had other matches, but I was like, I would be fine watching this for a whole hour.
Absolutely, totally agree. And I thought it was really unfortunate, too, that the very shitty, very last thing that happened on this pay-per-view really takes away from the fact that the women had this really fucking great match. But we weren't talking about it as much.
On the other hand, I am almost glad that they opened the show, because they opened the show and they set the bar fucking high, and they were like, dare ya. Which is what, like, happened with the tag one too, remember? Yeah, they were like, I dare you to touch this.
Yeah, the women's tag match was fun.
I meant the tag match in the Cell that one year.
Oh, that's right.
With, like, the Usos and New Day, where they were like,
yeah, they put the, like,
suck this.
Chain up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, the women's tag match was also really good. And also, I mean, like, fucking Asuka's got the green mist. That's hot as hell.
I love it. I love it so much.
Just waiting for Kyrie to drop that pirate gimmick, and then I think I will be... And for them to get their own music as a tag team, and then I think I will be on board.
I mean, I like Kyrie in this tag team, even as her weird pirate. I like that idea of, like, we're not bad guys. I'm so cute. And, like, look at me. And, like, no. We know that you're terrifying. I love that
they cut a whole ass promo on Monday night in Japanese, yep. And they were just like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Also very bizarre.
Is
Paige not with them anymore?
I don't know. Paige got neck surgery and she's, like, out for a little bit, but she was tweeting like she's still with them. I love Paige. I adore her. I really, really do not want her to come back. She seems unnecessary. They won without her, and I think that's symbolic. Or if she comes back, I want them to spit green mist in her face, yes, and be like, out of here, colonizer. Not that, like, that's a complicated thing to say, whatever.
But yes.
We don't need your help, British lady. Get out of here.
Yeah, it's especially appropriate that she's fucking British.
Not that Britain, like, colonized Japan, but, like...
I mean, colonizer, just capital C as a British person, yeah. I think is appropriate.
Whatever, there's probably layers of history that I'm missing, but I'm just saying I want them to spit green mist in her face.
Yes, absolutely.
And then be like, suck it, we're done.
Absolutely, I'm super into that. Also, put because Paige with anyone else.
Yeah, or...
Or don't, who cares?
Yeah, or have
put her back in charge of something, that would be nice.
Yeah, or have her do, like, pre-show stuff, or have her... Or just give her a big fat...
Shane just got fired. Put her in his job. Just
give her a big fat check and let her go live her life.
Truly. Let her live with her problematic boyfriend. Like, take your bad taste elsewhere. Like, I love you, but you clearly have bad taste in men. I'm sorry. It's how it is.
But she's got cute dogs.
It's true. And now makeup pretty line. Good tattoos.
Yeah. I just, yeah. I really don't want Paige to come back with them. I feel like that would be a really fundamental mistake.
Yeah. They don't need her. They truly don't.
They need
don't.
Their own fucking music is what they need.
Yeah.
Really, truly. They're like, starting with Asuka's music, which slaps, and going into like happy pirate music is stupid. Honestly, if they're going to just do that, flip it.
Yeah, it makes no sense that they don't flip
it. Or,
them.
I don't know, novel concept, get new music.
Yeah.
Is it because the CFO guy left and so they don't have anybody to make new music?
Yeah. It's because everything they put out, the performers are probably like, no. No, it's like when Seth Rollins was like, I have to pick a noise to put into my thing. I guess burn it down because the other ones were like, wow, wow, woo, woo. Like, they're all garbage because Vince picks them.
Yeah.
Although, maybe I would prefer it if Seth came out to, woo, woo, wow, wow.
Just like monkey noises?
No, no, no. Like, alarm noise.
Oh, okay. Whatever, dude.
No, just combine Seth Rollins with Jungle Boy. I'm super into this idea.
But Becky also on Monday Night Raw got missed it in the face and got pinned.
I mean, cool.
I mean, if you're going to pin the champ, that makes more sense to like be like, oh, I can't see anything. I just got fucking missed it.
Yeah. And like, I mean, they have to do something with Becky. They didn't put the belt on Sasha, so they have to do something with her.
Yeah, but you're not going to do a tag thing. I don't know. It's very interesting what they're doing, but I'm like, what is... I don't know what's happening.
It's because they're building a Survivor Series, so they know that the next match is going to be Becky and Charlotte. That's why.
Survivor Series. Are you going to go?
No.
It's here.
I know. Fucking Bound for Glory is here. Are we going to that?
No, because I have to work. My job's done. Also, I haven't watched Impact in like 6 months. I haven't watched Impact since January.
Yeah, truly. Since we went to the pay-per-view.
Yeah, and then they made a bunch of choices right after that that were terrible.
Yep, sure did.
Sure I'll probably did. Watch it once it's back on TV, because I'll have access easy, to it. access. Want to talk about some cucks?
I mean, when don't I?
It is remarkable. It is something.
It has to be intentional at this point that they're like, oh, everyone's making jokes about how much cuckolding is going on, so we'll just hit the max button, I guess. Like, I don't... Why?
I love Bobby Lashley. Again, I defend Bobby Lashley a lot. When I think of Bobby Lashley, I don't think of, like, sex. And I think about sex a lot when I watch wrestling.
Yeah, I don't really either. I mean, it's the eyebrows a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I don't find him very sexual because
he has alopecia.
No, because his eyebrow tattoos have not been updated in a decade. Like, girl, get it together. You don't need this
all the time. I don't think he's unattractive. I think that...
I'm just not sexually attracted to him.
Yeah, he doesn't have sexual magnetism.
No, he doesn't.
Right? I just... It's weird. It's a weird choice.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Rusev's just there with his tiny mustache. Just being cuckold. And Lana's like, everything's in my name. I'm going to fuck in this bed. With.
What? Poor Aiden English is all I got to say. Like, this man tried to work us and got ripped off.
But good for Aiden. I want Aiden English to come back and be like... In the background.
Me too. Leave. I really do.
I don't want him to say anything. I just want him to be like, ah! Right.
What was the city one night in...
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee? Yeah. I just want him to...
Did you almost say London? Because London and Milwaukee are fundamentally different cities.
No, I was thinking of the porn that the parody is based off of is A Night in Paris. And I was like, Paris? London? No, that's not right.
No. It is not right.
No, it is not
right. Leo Rush is the Cruiserweight Champion.
Oh, that happened? That's... Yeah. Okay. I mean...
Man of the Hour.
What's going on with 205 Live?
It doesn't exist anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, that's why I'm like,
The Cruiserweight Champion is now the NXT Cruiserweight Champion.
Okay, that's...
I really hope they change that belt. That belt is ugly.
I mean, I like that it's purple, but there's no reason to
purple
have...
and orange was always a choice, and it was not a good
orange
choice.
Orange is a bad choice, but I will always say that purple is a good choice. but it just
But doesn't. It doesn't fit. So if it's going to be NXT, they should update it to be an NXT title. Yeah. Though I guess, like,
there's
I mean,
red. I think that red is uglier than that purple is.
I think
the plate on the red one is better, and the plate on the cruiserweight
but, like,
is whatever.
Red goes, that deeper red goes more with the, like, black and gold than that, like, yeah. bright-ass neon purple.
Yeah, even if they just darkened that purple up, it would be
Yeah, they should darken it up.
Or just make it a black belt. They had, like, a prototype of the black belt as our cruiserweight yeah. title is black before, and it looked really nice. Like, you don't have an actual black title on a... almost called it AEW, on NXT right now. So, like, that would make sense, too. I mean, I guess that makes sense, too, if you're going to transition it into an NXT belt and no longer 205 Live, to put it on Leo, who's more associated with NXT, even with his, like, weird brief stint on the other roster.
With Bobby Lashley!
Yeah, exactly, who was like, all right, goodbye, little son. I ran this obstacle course and broke Sami Zayn, and now he is with Nakamura, so here I am, fucking Lana. Like, goodbye, little son.
Goodbye, little son.
And Leo's like, yep, bye. They won't pay for me to travel, so I'll just stay here in Full Sail.
Good for him still.
I mean, I agree. I absolutely agree. They tried to paint him as a real piece of shit, and you know what? Like, he was shitty about the things he said about Emma, sure, but, like, did not deserve to
But it was trained. Also kind of a funny joke.
I mean, it was a funny joke. If he had not just gotten fucking signed, people would have thought it was hilarious, but it was like, why would you say that? Like, don't do this. Yes. It was a dumb choice on his behalf, and I think he paid for that in many ways, but, like, did not deserve to be panned for, like, I can't feed my fucking family when you require me to travel and don't pay me for it. Like, yeah, true. You can't do that. That's real shitty. So, good yeah. for him. I'm happy for him. He deserves good things. Poor Drew Gulak.
Drew had a good run.
I mean, Drew had a spectacular run with a belt that meant nothing.
Do you have other thoughts about wrestling?
I mean, it didn't feel like an exhausting week, even though it was confusing sometimes.
You didn't watch NWA Power.
No, I did not. Me either. I heard some, it's funny because
I heard that it was interesting and yes. that they're doing this like throwback thing, but then also I heard a bunch of people being like, there's no women on there and you have Allison Kay as your champion. So like, if you're not going to put Allison Kay on right. your product, then like, eat my dick.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I heard. It's like, okay. I also heard this like, a bunch of people were like, I can't tell if this is like...
a joke?
Yeah, if it's like a wink and a nod, or if it's not a wink and a nod, and like, that means real different things. And like, I kind of want to know if I'm... It's sort of like that idea that they talk about on Glow with Welfare Queen, where it's like, I know that I'm doing satire, but do the people watching this understand that this is satire? Because if they don't, that's bad. Like,
that's bad.
If I think that this is satire, and it's not, that's not good. There's just a lot going on in wrestling. It's good. I feel not beaten down by wrestling in this moment, which is nice. Are you reading anything? Just porn?
Well, I'm not... I am reading fanfiction, but I'm not reading porn.
Oh, okay.
There's this one that was recommended to me by my professor and in my smut group, but it's... but it's like this, like... Crowley goes to see a therapist about trauma, and it's really long, and it's clearly written by, like, a real therapist.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. So I'm reading that. I also did read like a really long, like hardcore BDSM one for like 3 hours the other night. Yeah. I'm reading a lot, you guys. I did just buy, I'm reading like plays, but I did just buy, so I'm looking at for my class schedule and then I have this one weird requirement that I have to fill where I have to take a class from like the digital computing school and I don't want to because I don't want to do any of that stuff, but screenwriting counts as that.
Really?
And so I'm going to take a screenwriting class, I think, and the one that I'm going to take, or attempt to take, I don't know, whatever, is adaptation.
Ooh.
And so you take a story that's in the public domain, mm-hmm. and then you adapt it for film.
Right.
And I've been, like, weirdly obsessed with the story of Lilith lately, and so I found a couple... like public domain, like poems and like fairy tales and stuff. And so I've been like doing like pre-research, I guess.
Good for you. Smart.
Yeah. I've been like really like super interested in that like origin mm-hmm. and like the different ways that people tell it. Cause there's so like, oh, Lilith was always a demon, but then there's the story of like Lilith was created in the same way that Adam was. And she was just like, yeah, we're equals. And they were like, no. And she was like, no, but we were created from the same mud. I don't understand why we're not equals. And they were like, get out of here.
Yeah. Like, okay.
Out of here, crazy woman. That's interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. I like so. That one. I like that story of Lilith Watt.
You don't like the one where she's a demon that only begets demons?
Not particularly.
She's the mother of demons. Also an interesting story.
I mean, it is interesting, but yeah, as an allegory for it, this is how women were created on the world. Like, I feel like we were equals and you were dicks the whole time. It's like true to life in a lot of ways. Yeah. It's probably why I like it.
Mother of demons. And I also started watching the show Lucifer.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I'm in this real, like, weird biblical, like, time loop. It's really good.
That's what I've heard. It's
shockingly good, actually.
Everyone I know who's watched it has enjoyed it. The only people who ever talk shit about it are people who haven't actually seen it.
Yeah, like, obviously it's loosely based on the Lucifer character in the Sandman series. And Lucifer leaves hell. He's like, I'm done with this nonsense. Oh, I never wanted this job. I'm not even that bad of a guy. I'm out of here. And so he leaves hell. And so, like, in the Sandman books, and so this is, like, Lucifer leaving hell. So it's, like, really loosely based on comic book stuff. But the guy that they got to play Lucifer is really good. And the main, like, girl is, like, everyone is really good on the show. And it's actually, like, for... You know, it's one of those dramas like Buffy and stuff where it's like a murder happens every week and we have to solve the murder. But also our characters are growing each time we solve a murder. Like, it is very, you know, episodic and has a formula. It's very formulaic.
It's network TV, yeah. Right.
But it's really good in a way that I was not anticipating. I thought I would just turn it on and it would be some like supernatural nonsense, which do not come for me, supernatural people, okay? It's good in many ways. I like the Vampire Diaries. I get it. But this, Lucifer, is actually kind of genuinely good TV.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, that's good. I'm glad that
also,
you're
also, his brother is hot.
That's good.
He's one of the principals from Buffy. Didn't even realize that I was making a whole...
Oh.
I was watching it. I was like, how do I know this guy? Oh, Buffy.
I did that during Judy. I was trying to figure out who the guy playing Mickey was.
And you're like, Buffy.
I mean, I went, American Horror Story. I thought it was Jonathan Rhys Meyers for a long time and was like, he's too old to play this part. There's no way that's who that was. And I looked it up and it's one of the guys that I know from American Horror Story. And then Devin and I were watching the newest episode last night and that guy, Finn Wittrock, was in it as a background character because he like couldn't actually be on this season because he was filming fucking Judy. And so it was interesting to see that Ryan Murphy was like, hey, do you want to come play a drunk frat boy? We'll just like put you in the background real quick.
Because
so
that's
like,
part of the fun of watching American Horror Story, right? To be like, oh, that character from that season.
It feels like a Christopher Moore universe with Ryan Murphy where it's like everyone kind of exists inside of this and you're like looking for these faces as well as these characters, which I like a lot. But it was funny to be like, oh, that's right. That's why I recognize this guy. And then to immediately be like, oh my God, that's his face. Like there he is on the show that I was not expecting. Although should have because it's Ryan Murphy. Duh.
Sidebar, Christopher Moore is like our favorite.
Oh, the best.
I would say like, he's not my favorite author, but as a friendship, he's like our favorite author.
I would rank him up in my probably top 10, maybe even top 5 favorite authors.
He's in my top 10, but I would say like as our friendship, he's the author that... It's weird. I feel like I have authors with friends.
Oh, totally.
Because, like, with Allie, like, obviously with Gail Carriger, and, like, you is Christopher Moore, and...
Oh, it's so good. I love Christopher Moore so much. So much.
Speaking of biblical, Lamb is a really good book.
Lamb is so good. If you haven't read Lamb by Christopher Moore, you really should. It's fucking great.
It's really good.
If I could recommend any other book in his canon, too, I would say Dirty Job is a really good... It's in the middle of his universe, and so you see characters you don't know, and so when you go back and read other things, it's fun to do that, but...
I think Dirty Job is good. I do like the Vampire series. It's very cheeky. My favorite one is Sacre Bleu. I think it's stunning.
God, it's good.
It's so good. That's one of his later ones. But I think Lamb is like a really good place to start. Yeah, you get like...
You get a good sense of his writing style.
You know the story of Jesus, but then like to have it told in such a different way. And I think it's probably the one that's won the most like acclaim too.
Yeah,
so you kind of get
is.
His best work.
Yeah, totally. So good. He's so good.
So yes, I'm reading about Lilith and I'm reading porn.
I mean...
Or fan fiction. Not all of it's porn.
I mean... It's brain porn.
Yeah, but, I mean, some of these authors are really good.
I never said that they're not. You get so defensive about it.
I do. I, like, donated money to, like, the Transformative Works Fund, and I was like, well, I'm deep in now, so here's my money. You need money to keep this website up. Fine.
There you go. You can take it. Oh, and also, since last week, you read that comic that I recommended to you.
Yeah, so I read it twice.
It's real good.
Yeah, it's...
Have you returned it? Do I need to return it?
No, Aaron, I don't know where it is. It's in here somewhere. Okay. I thought about it. I'll return it. I promise.
Okay.
And if nothing, you'll walk me to the library on Monday.
That's true. I will.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
When I lived in the, when I arrived at the castle by Emily Carroll is what we're talking about.
I like the red pages with the like stories. Yes. That was really cool. I'm still like mulling over the end, which is why
I didn't love the ending, but
right, which is why I read it twice. I really liked it, though. I'm glad I read it.
Yeah.
It's very easy to read.
Mm-hmm. It was really good. I still highly recommend it.
What are you reading?
I've been reading, I mentioned it last week, Solitary. I'm going to read the whole title. I have it right here. Solitary, Unbroken by Four Decades in Solitary Confinement, My Story of Transformation and Hope. It's by Albert Woodfox. The shortlist for the National Book Award just came out, like, yesterday or the day before, and it is one of the shortlisted nominees for nonfiction for the National Book Award, and is probably going to win. It's very, very good. It is very depressing, unsurprisingly.
Shit.
Unsurprisingly, it's extraordinarily depressing. I'm, like, almost halfway through it, and it took, like, 130 pages before I even got to his confinement, and so that was, like... Man, just seeing the way that someone just gets fucking broken by our horrible system, which is working exactly like it's supposed to be. Like, don't say that this system is broken. It is not. It is absolutely designed to wreck people's lives, and that's what it fucking does. And reading about what it was like in... it's Angola, I believe, is the name of the prison. It's in Louisiana that he was in. They were under a consent decree for so fucking long that a Republican Congress decided... Yeah, you hit most of this. You don't actually need to do this anymore. And so they never upgraded their prison in all the way they were supposed to. Like, it is fucked up. All the prisoners that... There's a lot... He talks a lot about actions that prisoners take in order to get humane treatment. And you have to, like, go on a hunger strike and do, like, physical resistance and things like that. They used to make prisoners get their food on a tray that they pushed underneath of the bars, so all of their food was on the floor all the time, and it's just a dehumanizing tactic. That's what it's supposed to do. And so the people in solitary confinement, as a block, there's four of them, voted, we're going to go on hunger strike until you give us the dignity to get our food through the bars. You need to cut a food slot. They did every single cell in the prison before they got to the people in solitary confinement. It took them 2 years to get down there. And so all of these men got to eat standing up, but had to eat standing up for 2 years while they did all this shit. And it's just, it's really good. And it's, it reads almost like stream of consciousness, where he's like, here is the fucked up stuff that they kept doing to us. And it just goes and goes and goes. And like, I really recommend it. It's one of those things that, like, it is hard and necessary reading, because it is really important to understand that we absolutely have slavery in this country, and it is legal through the 13th Amendment, and this is the real human impact of this shit. Like, it is really fucked up. But it's very good. So that's what I've mostly been reading. I keep having to put it down because it's really fucking heavy, and I haven't been reading, like, supplemental stuff, but I got the Vagina Bible from the library. I was on a hold list for that. I would recommend that too. That's one of those things that if you have a vagina, it is a complete front to back of, like, people say your vagina works this way. That is incorrect. Here is what the difference is between all the parts of your vagina that they don't tell you because people think it's uncomfortable to talk about in health class. And it is a 300 page Bible about how vaginas work. And it's very good. And it's one of those things I'm gonna have to sit down and, like, actually read through. But I got it from the library and was like, well, this is quite a change from Solitary. Like, ooh, feelings of emotions here. So I've been reading a lot of weird shit, but good things. I'm like, again, I'm trying to be conscious about reading things from people who have written from prison, and I think that's important too. So that's what I've been reading. Hooray.
Nice. We have one email. It is a spooky fuck, marry, kill from Joe. Ooh.
All right, Joe.
Not really that spooky. I doubt this will be as fun to hear the discourse about as Phantom versus Mr. Hyde, but here we go. You've read Dracula, yeah?
Yes.
You know the character Renfield?
Which one is that?
He is an Englishman that Dracula turns into, like, a henchman, essentially, and he goes fucking nuts.
Okay, right,
he's
right,
the
right.
one that screams the blood is the life.
Right.
He eats the bugs, and yes. He is played by Tom Waits in the Bram Stoker's movie. That's or in the Francis Ford Coppola movie. Yeah, that's Tom Waits.
I did not realize
that. Is that Tom Waits? Yes.
Yes. It's been a really long time since I've seen that.
Tom Waits, Renfield.
And that is good casting. That makes sense.
Yes. It is him.
I did not know that.
I was correct. Dracula.
All right,
so Renfield.
Creepy bug eater who loses his mind.
The blood is life.
Blood is life.
Fritz, who I guess is the... I don't know. I haven't read Frankenstein in a long time. Is character in Frankenstein, I'm assuming, is like the helper of Frankenstein? No, that's Igor, right?
That was Igor, yeah.
Oh, Fritz Igor.
Oh, that's his first name. Okay.
Hilarious to write Fritz and not Igor.
Why did she write Fritz? poor Igor. We're like, you have a first name? What's that?
I'm confused. His name was Fritz in the original Mary Shelley novel. In the original Mary Shelley novel, he had no lab assistants, nor does a character named Igor appear. Frankenstein in the 1931 movie, Fritz Igor. What?
I did not realize.
Or is Igor and Fritz different people? I'm really confused. Let's just... What? Okay, whatever. Fritz. He's the one that steals the brains? Who knows? Let's just go with what we think we know.
Okay, that's what we do all podcast every week.
He's the one that helps collect. He's the corpse, like, stealer. He brings all the body parts.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. Fritz.
Fritz.
And Quasimodo. Okay, yes, I know, not really a villainous or a monster, but I was running out of henchmen. Well, marry Quasimodo.
Yeah, totally marry Quasimodo. He cares about other people.
Yeah. And he has a place to live.
Yeah, he does have a place to live. You're right. That's an upgrade.
Upgrade. Truly. Right? It's like, you know, trade a gondola for a bell. That's what I say.
That is what you say all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Look, I feel like I'm going to have to... I don't know. I feel like if you tried to fuck Renfield, he would... Just try and drink your blood.
Yeah,
he would try and murder you to eat your blood.
Yeah, I feel like...
The blood is life. He's nuts.
Yeah, I don't think that there's anything good that comes from an interaction with him. Whereas, like, Fritz Igor is a person. He's just kind of a monstrous henchman.
But you could have, like, a date. You could, like, go grave digging together.
Yeah, totally. I'll peg him on Edgar Allan Poe's grave. Mulder is a maniac. There's a very early episode of The X-Files where
Jesus Mulder Christ. Has
a very spooky ex-girlfriend and she references that they fucked on Edgar Allan Poe's grave, but like does it in a way that's like, I think she pegged Mulder on Edgar Allan Poe's grave. So that's what my mind went to. It's like, sure, I'll go grave digging with Igor and fuck him on this grave. Sure, why not?
Oh my god. Yeah, I guess we fuck Fritz.
Yeah, I guess so.
Get access to that lab for all of your drugs that you want to steal from scientists.
That's true. I do. I don't want to steal them from scientists. I want them to give them to me. So I'm like, what does this drug do? And they're like, this. It makes you see colors and things. And I'll be like,
this
thanks.
One turns you invisible.
Right? Like, cool.
I'm surprised he hasn't said the Invisible Man yet.
I mean.
He becomes a murderer. He goes crazy.
That's true. He does go crazy because he literally can't look himself in the eye. And then goes mad because of it. Of those three options, what's your immediate instinct with Invisible Man? Fuck, marry, kill. I don't know that I would necessarily kill him off right away, but he's not a monster, kind of like the Bug Eater is a monster.
I feel like I'd fuck the Invisible Man.
I think I would fuck the Invisible Man too. There'd be something very interesting about like
or
I can't,
terrifying.
I
literally really
can't
scary.
See you, but
no. But here's the thing: to fuck the Invisible Man, you would have to have like implicit trust.
Yeah, you would.
You'd have to be like, we have to have. Conversation.
Yes.
And you would have to have like a bucket of paint next to your bed so you could just throw it around the room. You're like, oh, where are you? Secret weapon.
I mean, really, the key is that you just have to make sure you have foreplay because if he has like pussy juice on his fingers, you can see that. maybe you're having sex on your period. Then everything's visible.
Yay, are you like this?
You're welcome.
Cool. Yeah.
I almost had coffee come out. I know it's just that.
That's it. That's the podcast.
That's the podcast. You can find us on the internet.
I'm at Stella_Cheeks.
I'm at Urgency. You can send us an email. They've obviously done very well for us these last couple weeks. You can send us an email at notyourdemo@gmail.com. You can rate, review, subscribe at Apple Podcasts.
Oh, whatever, I don't care.
What the fuck it's called anymore. You can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/netyourdemopod. We'll be recording every mania ever coming up.
On Monday. We're actually going to do it.
We're actually doing it. Woo!
Oh, also, I just want to give people a warning. So, we're close to our 200th episode. Mm-hmm. Insane. Shocking. Mm-hmm. And me and Erin are going to take a hiatus after that. We don't totally know how long it's going to be. Basically, we're going to rework the podcast because
we've been doing this a long time.
We've been doing it a long time. The wrestling landscape is different.
It's very different now.
Our schedules. And also, like, we still want to podcast.
Yeah.
We just don't. Clearly, you've been listening to this. The focal point.
You made it to the end of this episode.
The focal point isn't really wrestling anymore. And, like, we still talk about it and care about it. We just need to find a different format.
Yeah, totally.
So 200 seems like a good time to take a break. It's kind of close to our normal hiatus anyways.
Right.
But just preparing yourself.
Yeah, this isn't
we'll
gonna...
probably still put out stuff on the Patreon. The Patreon will probably get a lot more love during that time.
Yeah, totally.
Because we'll have be time. Doing that. So, yes, we'll have time. But... yeah, just want to give everybody a heads up so people aren't, like, gobsmacked in, like, 8 episodes or whatever.
Right, exactly.
So.
All right. Yeah, so now's the time to get on board with the Patreon so that when you're like, man, I miss these ladies, they'll be like, whoa, I paid for content, here it is.
Whoa.
There is a lot up there already. We have been doing it for some time now.
Mark out?
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Sure, whatever.
It's such an interesting way to end the podcast because it just comes out of nowhere.
I know. It's hard because like, it's like, oh, this is an appropriate sign off for our show, but you always look at me like, what are we doing now? I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't remember.
Fuck off, fuck off.
Yeah, we're just, oh, fuck off, fuck off.
See you later, cucks. Oh my God, I have to press stop now.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.